Welcome back to the Viking Update Show. It's time for our 2024 mock draft with John Krasinski. Let's get right to it. I think the Vikings should take a quarterback. Seriously, we make fun of draft nicks, of the enormous amount of draft coverage that is provided, the fact that ESPN just goes all in 24 hours a day on it. But the draft was fascinating. I got to say, the draft was fascinating. And as we talk here on Monday morning here at TalkNorth.com, I'm Jim Suhan and he's John Krasinski. Brandon Morton's our producer. There's even more intrigue being added to the Vikings picks. Courtney Cronin from ESPN is reporting that they really wanted Justin Fields, that they considered trading up for Rashad Slater. They end up trading down and getting Darisaw and getting extra picks and taking a quarterback in the third round. There's so much to get to here. Once again, this is part of TalkNorth.com. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod. Best way to listen. Subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's just an easy way to listen. Thanks again to Brandon. And thanks to our sponsors, Starbank, starbank.net, and Pizza Barn in Princeton. All right, John, just start with overall impression of how the Vikings did this last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Jim, overall, with the true caveat that we just don't know how any of these guys are actually going to perform once they get into the NFL, what I look for less so than being 100% sure of prospect A is going to work out or prospect B is going to work out, I try to look at the logic and I try to find kind of the thought process behind the way they attacked the draft, behind each pick, and where they ended up that way. So in that respect, from a Vikings perspective, I thought it made a lot of sense. You go down and you get an offensive tackle, a left tackle that you think can come in and plug in and play right away in Christian Darisaw, and you get him at 23 when I think a lot of people were projecting him to go to the Vikings at 14. So they picked up a couple extra picks, got something there. That's great. Then you go in and you take a quarterback and you take a kind of a swing with Kellen Mond in the third round to see what he might develop into without investing too much into that pick where he has to be your starting quarterback. If he does, great. If not, at least you have a little more depth there. So I like that pick. I really like the Wyatt Davis pick as well. Another offensive lineman. Go heavy on the offensive line. You could have come out of this draft conceivably on day one with new starters in the offensive line in a group that needed it. And so I like that as well. So all in all, we could get to the later picks as well. I think overall the process there was sound. We'll see if these guys work out or not. But I like that. The Courtney Cronin report about Justin Fields, I mean, that certainly does open another door to examine this whole process, but just the way that it shook out on paper there, that looked pretty good to me. So,
yeah, I agree. And like you said, we're not going to pretend we know exactly how any of these guys are going to perform because nobody knows how them, even the scouts who spent hundreds of hours on these guys don't know exactly how they're going to perform. There's a great deal of mystery in the draft. I thought their picks were generally very logical, but it is interesting. I did find it kind of fascinating that they didn't draft a cornerback. They drafted one cornerback who's going to play safety. They didn't draft a pure cornerback in this draft, even with some uncertainty around Jeff Gladney. Is that, do you think that's just because the right corner wasn't there at the right time? Or do you think it's because they think there's some chance that Gladney's going to come through this and be able to play, or that maybe Patrick Peterson has more juice left than we might have suspected?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's probably two things involved there. Yeah, Peterson being kind of a guy that they think they can rely on for heavy snaps in 2021 is probably part of it. But maybe I have to think, Jim, that there is some sort of belief that Jeff Gladney has not played his last football for the Vikings. If they kind of went through their due diligence and looked at the situation and the details behind it and said to themselves, it's going to be really difficult to keep this guy on the roster, I would think that maybe they go for a cornerback instead of the Iowa State running back they took in the fourth mm-hmm. round, somebody like that. There were a couple of places where you thought, well, maybe that's a little bit of a reach. And so, you would think that maybe, you know, they could have gone for a cornerback in that situation if they were going straight need. So I do think that in the end, there has to be some level of I don't know what the right word is, but of security that, hey, we're going to have Jeff Gladney back on this field at some point this year. And maybe he gets suspended. Maybe there's something else that gets involved with it. Or maybe they've done their due diligence and said, hey, you know what? This wasn't as bad as it looked initially, and he's going to come out of this okay. Something like that had to factor in, because Mike Zimmer likes cornerbacks too much for them to not have gone and got someone if they felt they really needed it.
At Talk North, we have added Lavelle Neal to our baseball show along with Roy Smalley. It's a really good show. I recommend it. It's going to be a fascinating Twin season. We have some other good personnel moves coming up here in the near future. Also, I've added my show, Blocked and Muted, with Jim Suhan. You can find that on the network. Garrett Bradbury was my guest last week. Thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com. And if you'd like to sponsor this program or any of the programs on the network, you can reach Karen Cleary at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. All right, let's get to the intrigue. It's the most intriguing thing about the draft, about every draft, about the NFL, is the quarterbacks. And we have three quarterbacks to contemplate here. You already mentioned Kellen Mond. They could have drafted Mac Jones and instead decided to slide down. I agree with that, but of course they'll still look, no matter how much we might agree with it now, if Mac Jones ends up being a superstar, that will look a little silly. And they considered going up to Justin Fields, and instead, and that's according to Courtney Cronin, I'm sure she's accurate on that, instead the Chicago Bears trade up a lot and expend a lot of capital to go get Justin Fields. And Aaron Rodgers says he probably seems to want out of Green Bay, seems to be making some kind of a power play. What, and we don't know. He's a very calculating, cynical guy. Who knows exactly what his end game is, but he is playing the game at the moment. What do you make of all the quarterback drama in the division right now?
Yeah, it's a whole mess, and it's going to be really, really fun to watch this kind of unfold over the next 6 months or so. But I think, you know, a couple of initial thoughts. One is I, too, Jim, am not I was not when they were on the clock at 14. If Fields had been there and they passed on him, that to me, I would have said, oof. Boy, that's a risk. You know, Mac Jones, I'm just not as sold on. Maybe I'll be totally wrong here. Maybe he will turn into the next Tom Brady and everything will be, you know, and the Vikings will be regretting that for the rest of their lives. That's entirely, entirely possible. But I've always just kind of had a little bit of wariness about, you know, a guy who came from a school where he's throwing to wide open receivers all the time, great protection, just dominating. That said, I think he played a role in that. So he deserves credit. I will say it has been interesting. I agree with Jace Frederick on this a little bit. You know, Mac Jones has had everything better from a statistics standpoint, from a winning standpoint, from every part of it at Alabama than Tua did. Mm-hmm. And Tua came out of the draft and it was like, oh, here's one of the best quarterbacks that's ever played the game. And, you know, he had the hip injury that pushed him down a little bit, but no one was doubting Tua's skills. And it seems like Mac Jones has faced a lot more scrutiny for his skills set, despite being much more productive in college than Tua was. Now, Tua has been off to a mediocre start with Miami. We'll see what happens, you know, this coming year with a few more weapons around him. But anyways, that's a long story to say. I wasn't clamoring for them to pick Mac Jones. The real interesting thing to me, Jim, is that, you know, assuming that Courtney's right, and I'm sure she's right, and I had heard some sort of scuttlebutt behind the scenes about the Vikings and Fields, but I hadn't really pinned anything down to really report. I think if the Vikings were looking and saying, hey, we really like Fields, we really want him, let's look at trading up. If you have a quarterback that you really, really like, I think you just have to be aggressive and go get him. Like, you know, I know the Chicago Bears kind of paid a high premium to do it, but that's, you know, I give them credit because they looked at a potential franchise quarterback and what that would mean for their team, for their city, for all of it. And they just said, you know, we're going to get him no matter what. And I said in this pod the week before, the 2 weeks leading to the draft, if you see a tackle or if you see somebody that you really like and that you really think you need, move heaven and earth to go get him. They had the Vikings had 11 picks in this draft again, and they've had 38 picks, I believe it is, in the last three drafts. You've had enough of the volume. You know, go get the quality player if you think it is. So if Fields is sliding down their board and they believe that he is a franchise-changing quarterback, and they kind of slow played it or got a little stingy with the draft pick compensation to try and move up a few, only a few spots, two, three spots would have done it. That to me, I think, could end up really haunting them if Fields turns into a star.
Right. I mean, what if Fields turns the Bears into, you know, a dominant team or an excellent team, a team that wins division titles, and the Vikings are scrambling around, not wanting to pay Cousins another contract, and Mond isn't the answer. You know, they might have kicked a big problem down the road, and that's going to be fascinating. Let's get to Aaron Rodgers next. I do want to thank Star Bank. Speaking of money, if you try to call your bank lately, do you bank locally? Star Bank is our bank at the Talk North Podcast Network. They're a family-owned local bank with branches across central and west central Minnesota. The Star Bank, you get all the bells and whistles you would expect from a bank these days, but they have no 800 number, no call center, and no confusing phone queue. You can even request your banker's cell phone number. That's how they operate. Star Bank is a true Minnesota family-run business. Check them out at starbank.net. Star Bank is a member FDIC and equal housing lender. Also want to thank Pizza Barn. Pizza Barn in Princeton. That's right. They're in Princeton. They also have a food truck. The food truck has the Talk North logo on it. It's awesome. Excellent pizza. Excellent gluten-free pizza, which I really appreciate. Go to pizzabarnprinceton.com to see photos. You will see exactly the style of pizza they have. Beautiful crust. Great toppings. Great craft beer if you go in, and they also are really big in the community. Jody Stay, she knows how to serve people, the high school sports community. She employs local kids. It's just a great local business. So check out pizzabarnprince.com and check out their pizza of the month as well. So what do you think Aaron Rodgers' end game is? Because he's doing the coy thing. He's finding a way to let it leak out that he's not happy, that he wants the general manager fired, that and yet he won't comment when he's at the Kentucky Derby wearing a goofy hat. Do you think all this is, hey, show me you love me, give me more guaranteed money and extend my contract? Or do you think this is, I really want out?
Well, I mean, I've seen a couple of schools of thought here, and the interesting thing to me is one, you know, I've seen it said where if he truly, truly wanted out, if he had reached the end of his rope and said, this is enough, enough is enough, I got to go, the better time to release this kind of, this kind of subterfuge would have been right around free agency, a little earlier, sometime in February, to really kind of give teams chance to process it and then offer draft pick compensation, trades, all those things to try and pry him out of Green Bay. To have it drop on draft day, on the day of the first round of the draft, it felt like his main goal maybe was less of, I really want to execute a plan to get out of here, and more of, I'm going to make everyone incredibly uncomfortable today. And success, he did it. great job, Aaron. And so I guess, you know, it'll just be interesting how far Aaron is willing to take this. Is he going to skip the voluntary workouts and the mandatory workouts this summer? Is he going to hold out in training camp? You know, is he going to go full Carson Palmer on it and threaten retirement from a team that has been in the NFC title game the last 2 years? Or is he basically saying, listen, guys, you screwed me over with Jordan Love. I don't like it at all. Now it's my turn to make you not like it for a little while. And last year I was the good soldier, and I kind of did everything on the low key, had an MVP season, and I didn't rock the boat. Now I'm rocking the boat because this is ridiculous. And so I'm really interested to see how far he's going to take this, or is he going to back off eventually and say, hey, look, this is where it is right now. We're moving forward and just try and get maybe one more year out of Green Bay. Either way, Jim, it sure feels like if his time in Green Bay isn't over right now, it's over after this year. I just can't see anything else happening to keep him around for the long term.
And I have people in our business who I love who have completely different opinions on this. Some of my favorite analysts are like, hey, the Packers might not have drafted exactly the people and positions Aaron Rodgers wanted them to draft, but they built a championship caliber team, a very talented team, a team capable. You know, listen, they should have beaten Tampa Bay in the playoffs last year, you know, and they probably would have won the Super Bowl. And they just didn't. And part of it was because Aaron made a couple bad throws. So the one school thought is, hey, they built a championship caliber team. Stop blaming everybody else, Aaron. Stop asking everybody else to fix every problem for you. Go win games. The other school of thought is, as you and I have talked about before, they have gotten that close and they have made draft picks that have not helped the current situation, the current team, that have not helped their relationship with Aaron Rodgers. It's on Packers. I lean more toward blaming the Packers for this rift, because I just think when you have Aaron Rodgers at this stage of his career in championship mode with your team, throw everything at winning a championship now. Don't draft a quarterback. Don't draft a backup running back. A, keep your quarterback happy. Why not? Because what makes your quarterback happy should be good for your team. That's where I end up coming down on it.
Right. Yeah. And here's the other thing, Jim. Or if you're going to draft a backup quarterback, don't draft a backup running back and then a backup tight end with your next couple of picks. You know, like you got to be able to mix and match here, something for now and something for later. Or don't draft the backup quarterback and then draft the backup running back and a few others. You know, that's the kind of thing that there seems to be an incredible hubris about the Packers organization that, hey, we're not above no one player is above this organization, and we got to look for the long term. No, there is a player above this organization, yep. And it's Aaron Rodgers, and he's only won one Super Bowl. And so, like, that's the whole thing. And here's the, like, and maybe this is me coming from kind of more of the NBA perspective, but what you have to understand, and people can get a little annoyed or whatever by Aaron. Well, hey, Aaron, like, this is how you got your job at Green Bay. They did the exact same thing to Favre. Don't you think that's hypocritical? It is hypocritical. It doesn't matter to these guys. Like, they don't look at it through the wide lens. They look at it through their very narrow, this is happening to me. I don't care what happened to anyone else. That is what these stars view it as. And most of the megawatt, top of the line, best to ever do it types of players in any sport, you do have to deal with some of the ego, some of the kind of myopic look at things, and you have to make them happy. And, you know, the fans can say, oh, well, he's making 30 plus million and he's been to the NFC title game the last couple of years. Shouldn't he just be happy? Maybe he should, but that's not how these guys work. And you have to understand, as an organization, when you have players this talented, you have to do everything to kind of accommodate them. And it doesn't mean to just bend over backward and straight capitulate to them, but you have to understand what you have in your midst. And if this team ends up the Aaron Rodgers era, if they trade him this summer, or if things don't go as well next year and they don't make a Super Bowl, and they come out of this stretch of Aaron Rodgers era with one Super Bowl championship and one appearance, right? That was it. It was just the one Super Bowl appearance. That's a failure. That's a failure when you've had a quarterback that talented to not maximize it more than they did. And so that's, to me, yes, I will always put the onus on the organization in cases like this.
I'll also say this. I think the situations were different, okay? Yes, he had Brett Favre in place, but the Packers were drafting at 24 in 2005. They had the 24th pick, right?
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers, we know now, and probably had an idea then, he was the best quarterback in that draft. He was the best player in that draft. He fell to 24. Mm-hmm. The players who went after Aaron Rodgers, Jason Campbell, Chris Spencer, Roddy White. Roddy White was a good player, but not a great player. Luis Castillo, Marlon Jackson, Heath Miller, good player at a tight end. Mike Patterson, Logan Mankins, pretty good guard. David Bass, Rodney Poole, Reggie Brown, Barrett Rood, Sean Cody, Stanford Rout, Mark Bradley, Jason, you get the idea. Okay, they had a choice between Aaron Rodgers or maybe a good tight end or maybe a good guard or a franchise quarterback. The best quarterback in that draft, a guy who played at a major program in a major conference and lit it up and looked like a great player. They really had no choice but to take Aaron Rodgers if you trust your scouts on this stuff. This is, you know, Jordan Love was a reach. It's the opposite. Yep. He was an absolute reach, a small school guy with some talent who you're going to try to develop. And he took him high, you know, you took him in the first round and he was a reach. There's a, to me, they're completely different scenarios.
Well, and here's the other thing that let's go even a step further, Jim, is that the Packers made that selection when Brett Favre had already been discussing retirement. Like that had been out there and he had been starting to contemplate that very seriously, it appeared, you know, was that, you know, and so that was put out into the ether that their quarterback, who has, you know, a great, great player, Hall of Fame player, but was already, it was in his mind that maybe the end is getting nearer. And every offseason he was getting to is, I don't know if I can do this again. And all this stuff. Now he always came back, but there was that context. In this situation with Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers had never given an even a sliver of a chance that he was going to be retiring anytime soon. I mean, all of the discussion on Aaron Rodgers' part is more along the Tom Brady lines of, I want to play as long as I can play. I'm very healthy. My arm feels good. I'm going to be doing this for a long, long time. And so that part of it is the other part that you factor in. You say, okay, we're going to, like, Aaron Rodgers wants to play for another 4 or 5 years, perhaps even more. Is now the right time? And again, yeah, like in that situation, if the top rated quarterback in the draft maybe slid down to where they were picking Jordan Love, okay, maybe, but they traded up to get a guy who I think obviously they feel really highly about, and maybe he will be a great, great player. But just given where your MVP caliber player, one of the literal best to ever do it, was from a mindset standpoint, there were just so many other options that you could have gone with to A, make him happy, and B, make your team better and more competitive. I mean, I tweeted it out after they lost in the NFC Championship game. I think, you know, Jordan Love didn't play a single snap, and the backup running back maybe had like 4 carries or 4 touches in the whole game. You know, in tight games like that, that can be the difference. Like that can change everything. So that's why I can see Aaron Rodgers being like, this is different. You know, I wanted to play for a long, long time. You know that I still have it, and you still went out and went this way. And so that's why they are where they are right now.
Yeah. Let's wrap this up by going back to the Vikings. Thanks again to Star Bank and Pizza Barn. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com. We appreciate it. Which of the players the Vikings drafted do you think we will end up saying, okay, that was a really good pick? I mean, not just a good player, but somebody who they got really good value at the place they selected them.
Yeah, I really do think, I mean, there's two guys that I'm looking at, but the main guy is Wyatt Davis, the guard. To get him at 86, our Arif Hassan does this kind of, combination look at all of the mock drafts and all of the projections. And most of the projections leading into the draft had Davis going somewhere around 53rd. And so to get him at 86 and at a position of real need, I mean, he's a huge dude, like, just a big guy that if he can be that road grader type of a player and make the offensive line more physical the way Mike Zimmer wants it to be, I think that's the number one guy that on my board that I look at and say, boy, they may have really hit a home run here. The other guy that I really want to see, just to see, is the Iowa receiver, Smith Marset. Like, super explosive. Maybe he's more of a return man than anything else. But again, the Vikings desperately need some sort of dynamic element in the return game. So even if he can bring that right away and then slot in as a third or fourth receiver and just give them a little bit of juice that way, I just want to see him with the ball in his hands and see if this is possible, because I think he's a guy that does have some explosiveness, that does have the ability to make people miss in the open field and could be an exciting pick, you know, down in the fifth round. I mean, I have no problem with him taking a flyer there on someone like that.
You really missed an opportunity there, John. You could have said you like him in space.
In space. Gosh darn it. Yeah, I'll get that next time for sure.
Yeah, we'll mock draft our mock draft for next year, and we will include all the appropriate cliches. I will say I really like the Davis pick where they got him. I also think that Patrick Jones might be exactly the kind of guy they take and develop into a nice edge rusher under Andre Patterson. I could see him being a nice, talented sleeper as well. Any final thoughts, John, on the draft, the extravaganza that the draft has become?
Extravaganza. I think like the one for me, you know, I think in general like the Vikings draft. The one kind of, it feels like an X factor to me on it is the North Carolina linebacker in the third round. Super raw, right? He hasn't played the position at all. He was a quarterback before. And if you watch the kind of breakdowns of him, it looks like he's ultra athletic, very productive as a tackler, but maybe doesn't really know how to get off of blocks and really read the position yet. And so in the third round, that feels like a bit of a reach for me. But if they can maybe bring him along slowly and develop him, maybe he turns into something. But again, he's 24 years old already. And so that's one of the picks that had me sort of scratching my head and just seeing, yep, I wonder what they see in this guy. And hey, maybe he turns into Eric Kendricks 2.0 and everything's going to be great. But it's just, you look at that and you look at what the scouts and the experts are saying about that, you know, in the third round, I just, you know, I'm just like, this one feels a little out of place to me.
Yeah, I agree. That one was puzzling to me, but we're all guessing. We're just trying to make educated, logical guesses. But
absolutely.
But we're going to be talking about the ramifications, the fallout of this draft for a long time. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. You can also hear John on the John Krasinski Show, where we talk about the Timberwolves and the NBA.